Filer Show. Try it at no obligation for 30 days or your money back. Every morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Right here on 105.5 and 97.5, The Roar. Touchdown! Where every day is game day.
One Time Plumber, the name is the number. Get in touch with it. One Time Plumber can do an unbelievable job for you. I hope that you don't have to call them. But in case that septic tank has issues, in case there's drainage issues, a bust pipe, I hope you don't have any burst pipes coming up with the cold weather stuff. But, you know, things are going to happen sometimes. And the water heater, sometimes the thing, you know, the disposal, some things go wrong. Don't do the DIY stuff here either. This is where the plumbers come in and they take care of you. They'll do it right. In Charleston and Columbia and in Clemson, One Time Plumber. The name is the number. Don't have to go through searches or waste time. Go with the best in the business. One Time Plumber. To our guest lines for the second time now on our Tiger Diagnostic phone lines is Paul Strelo. Good morning, Paul. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, Mickey. Hope you are as well, sir.
We are. We had a lull this week due to coaching conventions with the transfer portal. But and I know we got deadlines for getting guys in school now, but do we anticipate maybe a little busier weekend coming up, a few days coming up now with the transfer portal in Clemson?
Oh, I think that certainly Clemson has a wish list of one, maybe two players. So as far as there still being activity, yes. As far as visits and what materializes, like I don't think there is necessarily a panic to fill those spots. And I think this is a time where desperation can take over some people, and that's the market that agents and players are trying to cater or play to in order to make a lot more money. So, I think there is a juggling act that goes on there. For Clemson, I believe they want one more defensive tackle. When you look at their numbers and what they continue to be in communication with and are looking for, and particularly with Defylon Green's departure, seeing what they can do to kind of replenish that cupboard and maybe get some experienced or more veteran options, for this coming season. So, I think that is still in play, fairly actively. But you also have the concept right now of, a number of, it's been a second wave of guys hitting the portal this week. And a lot of that is, supply and demand driven. Or, negotiations with players at their present schools, guys just decide because of the domino effect of the portal, they're looking for new opportunity. So there's been a second wave of candidates that have come available and that Clemson's been tracking. But can you find the right guy at the right price? Whether it's, there might be appealing candidates, but, they've either... they're basically, a lot of these guys are going to the largest bidder, but do they have realistic expectations for where they fit within salary slots, or you have a particular kind of guy, profile of guy you are looking for? A lot of different boxes have to be checked, and Clemson's kind of wading through that right now, particularly for defensive tackle, and I think if they found an offensive lineman they like, I think they can move there, but I think finding folks that meet that criteria is easier said than done.
Can I see if this criticism is fair? Because I hear this from fans, and I believe a lot of what I'm about to say. Not all, but a lot about what I say there. While I don't want to overpay, and I do believe that there's the value is a big part of that, somebody's overpaying, and that when I look at Clemson, sometimes it feels like bargain shopping all the time. Maybe that's a misperception because obviously T.J. Moore and Westcott, some of those guys aren't bargain shoppers. Maybe Jacob, some of those guys, that's not bargain shopping now. But with that said, and I know that's a factor. Mm-hmm. That said, it just feels like if it's a seller's market and nobody wanted to go pay $1.5 million for a house, it's a $500,000 house, but if you got to have a house, you got to spend.
Yeah.
And that at the high school level, they don't appear to be outspending anybody. And at the portal level, they don't appear to be outspending anybody. And I know at retention level, they're spending their money. But if you're not getting great on the front end or great on the portal end, then, man, the retention end seems like a pretty hard sell to fans. Any of that unfair? Mm-hmm. Any of that fair?
No, I don't think it's necessarily unfair. But, you know, I think there's a medium ground in there somewhere on, like, Clemson is spending and spending a considerable amount of money.
Right.
And while, you know, there isn't a budget sheet to roll out for people to see that, you know, I think if you look at the recruiting class this past year, you know, to keep a Naeem Burrows, keep a Tate Reynolds, to keep, to get the offensive linemen they did. I mean, was it a top 10 recruiting class? No, but they had guys in there that they chose to, you know, put a substantial cost into that were worthwhile. And I think you even saw that with the transfer portal here, where, like, I mean, no one has characterized it as an overspend because no one knows the money. But they got a Jerome Carter, the Old Dominion safety, Corey Myrick from Southern Miss, you know, Marcus Strong, a defensive lineman from Oklahoma, you know, and got those guys pretty quickly. And so in that regard, like, you know, I believe that they have spent money and a considerable amount of money, not a top five spender in LSU or anything like that, but they haven't gone on the cheap. But at the same time, I think principally the idea of, you know, if every, I agree to your point, specifically as it pertains to the offensive line, and like at some point I felt like they personally, you know, my opinion was they needed more guys. But, you know, I think you also run there less into the principle of spending and more into the concept of player evaluation along with valuation on, you know, I think that Dabo Swinney in particular, you know, holds his current guys in higher, you know, higher regard than most, and I think it's easier to see the warts on, you know, all these other guys in the portal, who, you know, throwing out graphics of, you know, all these career starts and PFF grades and a lot of stuff that really, you know, a lot of them are, you know, closer to bang average players and just mid guys than anything else. So. But, you know, there does have to reach the point where, like, some of those guys would provide value to Clemson, and it's deciding what that value would be. And I don't think Clemson's final decision on what their value would be has matched up what a lot of people, fans, you or even me, might think it would be for the offensive line, where you feel like they, you know, after what you saw last year, they could use help. But that comes back to, as much to Dabo Swinney's, I think, valuation and evaluation, that bringing in Chad Morris and changing the attitude and structure within the offense and putting more in the run game, as well as just kind of growing up what they have, because they do have 18 offensive linemen on recruited scholarship guys. You know, I think the belief that getting more out of what they have has superseded the idea more than paying guy too much.
It is pretty clear to me, and again, I always yield to you, Paul Strela. You know this, because honest to goodness, I'm not.
But go ahead.
No. I should, and I'm not blowing smoke, because I really, really trust the evaluation part of it, and I know in your connections part of it as well. But it is clear to me that there are so few difference makers on the offensive line, and there's so many teams that are looking for that. Therefore, the seller's market we talked about, man, it just seems like it's a very, very, at that one position more than any other position. I know we're going to overpay for quarterbacks, but it seems to me, am I right? Offensive line is the one thing where everybody wants it, but there's just such a limited supply of guys that you would truly get excited about.
Yes, and I think that what we've seen, and it goes to several other positions as well, but as much with offensive line is, you have a bunch of names jumping in the portal who all think they are worth $1 million, if not more.
And so
even going to like Xavier Chapin, who's from the low country, who went, you know, who went to from VT to Auburn last year and was awful, bad year. He comes out and still like was immediately asking like almost 2 million. And I don't know what Florida State gave him. But you know, I think as I'm looking at it as a general manager or a school, you know, it's more like you're paying for maybe what you could have versus, man, that's a long shot based on what we've just seen. You know, Josiah Thompson, for South Carolina, who came out, who had, you know, a very poor year, and there are circumstances behind that, you know, physically, in my opinion. You know, but then comes back to South Carolina as someone who I think went in the portal and overplayed his hand thinking what he could get. And so that kind of brought him back and looking for options, and South Carolina was kind of the umbrella for him. But, you know, I think that's kind of like, you know, just a lot of what you see in the offensive line market right now is how much, you know, is that guy really a $1 million player to help us at offensive guard? You know, when, you know, compared to what you're paying your starters just to stay, because acquisition costs a lot more than retention. And I don't think the vast majority of these schools are paying, you know, their guard, their center, you know, maybe even most tackles, you know, $1 million. So you're going to pay in excess of that just to get someone who is lesser quality than what you kept to retain. I think there is a principled issue there that I think schools run into, that unless, like, you know, if you're South Carolina and are looking to totally rebuild the offensive line, you're spending that kind of money, you know, and getting 5 to 6 guys who are substantially, you know, should be differential to what you've got on campus. They're going to be the ones you have to roll with, and you don't have a whole lot else. Whereas I think Clemson is banking on having more numbers, bringing up some of the younger guys that they've got, as opposed to sinking all that cost into 5 players that, you know, maybe turn out, you know, because they're veterans and have played, can get you through. I think it's just two different strategies on how you approach position building that I think Clemson has already sunk a lot of money into offensive line across the board, or a decent amount. I won't say like any more than anybody else. They're not paying the $3 million for Jordan Seaton, at least, that it's going to take, the Colorado tackle. But I think it's just a different approach.
Final question. This is my final doom and gloom question for you. I'll get back to more rosy, at some point in time in the next few weeks. In looking at next year's recruiting class and top 250 guys, it does not, from what I've seen now, and it's early, obviously, and really a lot of that can change, and a lot of it's just getting your initial offer out there NIL-wise. I get that. But it doesn't seem like that Clemson has traction that is expected. Is that a fair assessment of the? Seems like they're a little behind right now with the at least being mentioned in the top 5 kind of list.
No, I absolutely think that's a fair characterization, and you know, I think it a valid criticism and a concern on, you know, how are you going to acquire your talent going forward? Is it going to be through the high school ranks, and a lot of folks like to say they're still going to major in high school recruiting. Is it going to be through the transfer portal? And particularly now in an era where, you know, like you can see how LSU has completely kind of redone things, but the principled matter of, like, for Texas, with all the money they've spent in high school recruiting, suddenly recognize a big issue they had this year was how much of their money was dead money, not getting any return on the investment this past year. And so I think that is a way that schools are going to have to start assessing, is just generally, where is my money going to, and what am I getting out of it? Because you can't really build long term, or you don't have the flexibility to do that as a coaching staff, because there's going to be increased turnover. because of the money and what expectations and standards are year over year, every coach is going to be on a veritably a 1 year deal, but it's with large buyouts. But you don't have a lot of time to develop. It is an interesting strategy that you have to look at on where you're focusing. But particularly when all indications with Clemson are they are going to, still lean, and I don't know that Dabo Swinney will ever change on it being based on high school recruiting and developing and building up. I think that something is going to have to happen for Clemson to, raise its high school recruiting in this climate. Now will others start devaluing high school recruiting and it almost become almost to the effect of what Brad Brunell has benefited from with others having become so portal focused that he's gotten some good quality that maybe Clemson wasn't able to get before, like Harris Reynolds, who's a commitment now, and going back to this class they just brought in with Chase Thompson and the other guard from Atlanta. But we will see. There's still a lot of time there. Really, March junior days and June official visits are when the needle starts moving. And who's to say that Clemson doesn't come out and be more financially aggressive in high school recruiting once it starts to matter here? Because this early, it doesn't mean a whole lot, and I think Clemson has experienced that. If you're going to make your move a little later, and we'll see what happens.
The thing I love about you more than anything else is that you're my balance. Whenever I'm too acidic, you get me back one way. Whenever I'm too, whatever the other opposite of acidic is, whatever. You just, if I'm too positive, you ground me. You humble me. If I'm too negative, you pick me up a little bit, man. You're Lou Holtz. Like, you make me feel good about myself or bad about myself whenever, when to pull and when to push.
Or I'm a contrarian who's argumentative and always when the wife proposes something, I always say, no, it should be the other way. It's a matter of perspective.
It is all about perspective. Tell me about more perspectives at TigerIllustrated.com and how to subscribe, and a very, very good time of year to do it.
Absolutely. Again, we've rolled out some names this week that we are continuing to track for Clemson's portal acquisitions. And updating that there as well as identifying and bringing to light some information about each of these guys. And we've got some things planned for that going forward. Obviously, basketball team is rolling, and we're not that far from spring practice. So, yes, kind of closing things out with the portal here over the next week. Still expect some movement there. We'll see if that materializes for any additions, but the portal faucet is still dripping and has not frozen, so a lot still to go here over the next coming days and weeks.
All right, I'm going to leave you a little serious. Acidity, and then the polar opposite is alkalinity. I just looked that up for us.
Thank you. You got me on that one.
When I'm too acidic, you add some alkalinity to it. When I'm too alkalinity, whatever, you bring me some acid. So that's good. Always the best, buddy. Always appreciate it. And let's talk next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com. Much more after this.
It was just a few years back that I was trying to understand why my body wasn't cooperating. Then my great friends at PhD Weight Loss helped me to realize that it's not my fault. Losing weight is getting harder and harder. I was eating better, I was moving more, but my body just wasn't responding the way it used to. That's not willpower, that's metabolism. For many people just like me, years of dieting quietly slows the metabolic system down, so the harder I tried, the less progress I was making. But at PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and fix the root cause, not just the calories. If you want to better understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock this great New Year's special. It's free, it's personalized, and it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900.
Running a business means wearing multiple hats. So if you're like me, you probably started out using your personal phone, taking client calls and texts nonstop. As my business grew, I needed something smarter. That's when I switched to Quo, the number one business phone system. Quo works right on your phone or computer. No carrying two phones, no clunky landline, just one easy app you can try for free. Your team can share one number and handle calls and texts together, like a shared inbox. Any teammate can jump into the conversation, so customers get faster responses. And Quo's AI assistant summarizes your calls and responds to customers 24/7, so you never miss a lead or opportunity. All this starts at just $15 a month. That's basically two coffees. You can even keep your current business phone number. Find out why 90,000 businesses trust Quo. No missed calls, no missed customers. Try Quo for free at quo.com/sports. That's quo.com/sports to try Quo free. quo.com/sports.
If you run a business, you need video. Marketing video for your website, social media, employee training. You need Double Dog Video Productions. More than 30 years experience with clients from the largest manufacturers in the upstate to small family-owned businesses. Our mission is simple. The highest quality video production without the high prices. Check out our website, then give us a call, doubledogvideo.com. Let us tell your story.
Looking for exceptional senior living? Welcome to the Barclay at Clemson, formerly Dominion Senior Living and Everlawn Independent Living at Patrick Square. Now with a fresh name and the same trusted care you've come to count on. Whether it's independent living, assisted living, or memory care, enjoy top-notch care, chef-prepared meals, engaging activities, and the same friendly staff members in a community that truly feels like home. Live well and thrive at the Barclay at Clemson. Schedule your free tour today at 864-722-2811.
ATV Outfitters, they stock more ATVs, UTVs, motocross, and street bike products than anyone for hundreds of miles around. They have more than 10,000 tires and wheels on hand, and they pride themselves on great prices and getting you the accessories you need fast. Spend $75 or more and mention the Roar FM and receive either a cargo net, fender bag, or tow rope free of charge. Don't buy elsewhere, or you'll both lose money. Come by ATV Outfitters, located at 2485 Rutherford Road. In Greenville.
They say the new year calls for new goals. So what about new house goals? Upgrade to comfort this year with natural gas. Picture warmer heat, endless hot water, cooking without power, and grilling without a tank. Make the switch for a cozier and more efficient home. Call 864-859-6375 or visit fhnga.com for details. And hey, before you dig, remember to call 811. It's the law, and it's free. Happy New Year from your friends at Fort Hill Natural Gas.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
If it matters, we're talking about it.
Like it matters?
Oh, it matters.
We're 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, my great friends at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Love what they do. Love how they do that. Blue Ridge is a local company in Western North Carolina and the upstate of South Carolina. Ben and Chris, great guys that do an incredible job. They are coming to my house a week from Monday to do my preventive maintenance plan, and I'm going to get a skilled technician, experienced technician. They're going to spec my system. They're going to clean it out. They're going to give me some you know, hopefully tune the thing up and make sure everything's working right and the right air. And that's going to save me money on my power bill for the efficiency standpoint. It's going to save me money long term by making the machine last longer. We love that idea. And we love the fact that these guys are so centered on not just the temperature in our homes and businesses, but the quality of air and the efficiency of that. Think about our friends over at Blue Ridge Heating and Air. Get on that preventive maintenance plan and get those discounted prices and the peace of mind of knowing that twice a year they're going to come in and make this machine last longer. Comprehensive repair, insulation. They do the Armstrong air, the preferred dealer here in our area for the Armstrong air made right here in Orangeburg. We love it. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Love the guys. Love dealer. Love hanging out with smart people. And that's what Chris and Ben and these guys are. Very smart guys doing this. BlueRidgeHeatingAir.com. Sam, I have a homework assignment. I guess maybe we're not going to do this at home, but we can kind of talk about it now. I'm just doing some research during the break about the idea of the NFL being the model. So, Sam, stop me, or let me get you just a line item. Am I thinking right here? And correct me where I'm thinking wrong, all right? Is it fair to say that the college game is moving to the NFL model? I'm okay with that idea?
Like roster building wise?
Everything.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So it appears to me, like I looked up during the break, the NFL teams spend about $400 million a year. Now, they show that. That's not apples to apples because there's ways to show expenses and you can show losses and you can show, you know, that's an accounting number. But the operating expense of an NFL franchise is about $400 million a year. All right? Of that, the players are about $100 to $110 million of that. So it's about 25% on players.
More than that, surely, right?
Mm-mm.
Compared to what they're spending on the cap?
No. There's stadium operations,
yeah.
Insurance,
oh, okay.
Medicals. I mean, that's one thing I think that the college fan missed out on is that, these schools are making all this money, and where's all the money going? These days, it should be going to the players where they were, but they were doing it in the forms of tuition and dorm rooms and that kind of stuff. With that said, so you're going to eliminate if you're going total NFL model, one of the differences is now head coaches in the NFL make between $5 million and $20 million. So one of the misconceptions here is that in the NFL, you don't pay the coaches, you pay the players. No, I mean, Andy Reid makes $20 million a year. Coordinators, it's pretty comparable, the NFL and the college game. So the NFL, players obviously make more money. The NFL head coaches make more money than college head coaches. The coordinators, though, in that $1 to $2.5 million range, and that's what the college game is. So there's not a huge difference there compared to player numbers. So for instance, let's say Texas spends $40 million on players this year, University of Texas. Whereas the Houston Texans are going to spend $100 million, right? So that's a big difference. The head coach of the Texans is going to make about $12 million. The head coach of Texas is going to make about that. I guess that's fairly close. Support staff guys, position coaches, by the way, less in the NFL. Position coaches make more in college at the P4 level than the NFL. I think I'm right by saying that. I could be wrong on that. And support staff guys at times can make more there. But altogether, staff-wise, I got to find what that number looks like. Because you do have a lot of scouting guys and things like support staff guys in the NFL too. But my point here is, Sam, is if we're going to get down to we're going to pay our coaches overall coaching salaries and staff stuff less, but we're going to pay players more, I think is where we're headed. Does that make sense? Am I on the right page here in following the NFL model?
Yeah, I think you're underselling how much they pay the players in the NFL, to be fair, but also...
let me get this. According to AI, let me see here.
Well.
NFL.
Well.
Total.
I mean, if you add up the...
salary by team.
If you add up the base salary for any given team, you're probably looking at $200 to $300 million for every single team. If you're just going off base salary. And then you add bonuses on top of that, and then you add insurance on top of that for injuries, and then you add cash spending like the Eagles do and the Browns do, your money's going to jump significantly because you have owners who can pay out
I'm looking at it now. That number's under that, yes. Like the Reds, not Redskins, the Washington football team.
The Manders.
Those guys, $253 million. So, yes, more.
And I would imagine, where does that put them in?
New England's $281 million.
I would imagine number one is probably Kansas City from a cap perspective, but I think the Eagles and the Browns
underestimated
spend the most money. on top of that, then you're right. You have coordinators, you have coaches, you have support staff, you have football operations, you have general managers, you have analytics departments that have grown now. You have a whole host of people that need to be paid that presumably the same type of thing is happening at the collegiate level. While the players are not making as much money, there are double the players on each roster. Now, not every player is making money.
Right. Well, yeah, it's NFL rosters, rising. as a texter said, the NFL rosters, you're paying about half the size of the college rosters.
But yes, but you're not paying them all, probably. Yeah. You're paying the walk-ons, presumably. Right. If you are, that's you're not paying them much.
Here's my whole deal here, all right? What I want to know moving forward is, if we're going to follow the NFL model, see if this makes any sense, Sam, or see if you, I'm thinking you're correcting me on the total number there, because it's over $200 million, maybe $250 million on that deal. All right. But basically, when it comes to players, you got three types of players that you're paying. You're paying your current guys on your roster. You're paying for free agency, and you're paying for a draft class. Did I miss anything?
Free agency, draft class.
And current guys, current roster.
I mean, that's okay. It's your current guys and rookie contract. There's two different types of contracts. You're either paying a veteran contract or paying a rookie contract.
Right. So that's what you're talking about in college football in the future. Your current guys, your current roster guys. Your free agency, that's your transfer portal, right?
Trades, I suppose, in a sense.
Yeah. And your rookie class, that's your recruiting class. Your draft class, your recruiting class.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, breaking it down by percentage, how much of the percent goes to the current roster? How much of the percent goes to free agency? And how much of it goes to the rookie class? Because to me, if the model's the NFL, I think that's how you should be breaking it down. Am I making any sense at all, Sam?
I think it depends for each team collegiately how much you want to spend. Again, we did this discussion earlier in the year, like with Texas. Why would Texas, if they're trying to be an elite program immediately every year and win a national title every year, which they haven't, but they're trying, why would Texas invest a lot of money into four or five-star high school recruits who don't want to play for them unless they're playing immediately? It doesn't seem financially wise. But a team like Tulane, who can afford to develop those guys for a couple years and then would watch them leave after they developed into a good player, may want to throw that money more so at the developmental guys and try and save themselves some cash.
That's a big point here, because if you're going to recruit well, if you're a good football player, if you're Texas, you got good players. Remember, we did this thing with the wide receivers. Texas had great wide receivers, and then they went out and they signed four top 100 players in the country, wide receiver, and they paid them all this money, but they got nothing out of any of those guys throughout the entire year. Right?
Yep.
So just to that, just to speak to that, and I'm trying to get to the point here. I'm not maybe not doing a great job of it, but so why would Texas? Because it's a balance in there. Texas had, bear with me, Texas had Wingo, Moore, and Livingston as your three starting wide receivers. And those guys caught between them 54, 38, and 29. So that's 47, 67, 71, 120 balls this year. All right? They went out and recruited Lockett and French. And there's one more in there. McCutcheon. They went out and got these three top 100 guys, all right? McCutcheon caught seven passes. Lockett caught five. And French caught one. But yet they spent $3 million on those guys. Or I'm guessing there. Those are top 100 players. Those are million-dollar guys. So why would you spend that on those guys? But if you don't go sign them out of high school, then you don't have the Wingos and the Livingstons. I think Moore wasn't more a transfer, maybe. No. Moore, you signed Moore as well. So those guys you signed in high school. We're moving forward now. You got to keep those guys.
Ideally, you still want to hit high school recruiting heavily because you want a base of which you can pull from. If somebody hits the portal above them, logic would say that those guys would then view the situation as a stepping stone into a starting job.
Right.
The same way they would view it when someone graduates into a starting job. But It's a lot more difficult now when you have situations like what USC is dealing with or dealt with their five-star quarterback prospect not playing this year, as he shouldn't, and then immediately transferring to LSU when it's a very similar situation for him at LSU where he's going to sit behind Sam Leavitt for a year then start next year when he would have just sat behind Jordan Maiava for a year as well.
I guarantee you this, Sam. I guarantee you for the long streak, whatever his name is, I guarantee they spent $2 million on him.
Think about how much money USC is probably willing to pay to have a five-star sitting behind Jordan Maiava. LSU had to pay a ton to get him, on top of paying a ton to get Leavitt, on top of also adding a real-life, competent third-string quarterback on all of that.
This guy won't play this year either. This guy's going to make $4 million, and he hadn't played a down.
Football. Yeah, you don't want him to play at all. How much is Oregon spending on Dylan Raiola this year?
That's fascinating to me.
But also, you don't want to be the team in a situation like that if you're LSU or Oregon. You don't want to be the team that loses their quarterback and gets caught out to dry and has no chance. Yeah. If you have the money, you might as well do it, because look at Ole Miss. Ole Miss brings in Trinidad Shamless. They thought Austin Simmons was a playoff-caliber quarterback. Yeah. Might have been. Who knows? He got hurt. He got Wally pipped. And then they had a guy behind him who was able to come in and serve as the starter and elevate the team. They all want – Kiffin's following that model at LSU. He wants to have a talented young guy behind his guy in case something goes wrong. It's not a bad idea if you have the money to do it.
You got to have the money to do it, though.
In a lot of cases in the NFL, with the cap the way it is, teams can't do that. Teams can't afford to go crazy on paying a backup quarterback or a developmental quarterback unless they're on a rookie-scale deal, because you have to spend the money elsewhere. I think it was – I'm trying to remember who it was. It was the assistant whose name is escaping me that just retired after 60 years for the Bucs that said, like, in 2004, when Peyton Manning got hurt, someone asked him, what are we doing at the backup spot?
Yes.
If Peyton Manning gets hurt, we're effed, is what he said, basically. So, like,
what he said was, we don't even practice
with
our backup quarterback.
So, you can't do that in the NFL unless you've got Nick Foles and you get lucky like the Eagles did. So, you just got to manage it differently. You have to manage the cap differently. In the NFL, additionally, you can also look at the rookie scale contracts and you know what they're going to be. They're baked into your salary cap, basically. Every year they elevate a little bit, the scale goes up, but you know exactly how much money you have to have available the minute that player hits your team to be able to fill the 7 rounds of rookies in there. You don't have that in college. You have uncertainty with all these players because the contracts keep changing and keep elevating as LSU comes in and offers more.
It was Tom Moore.
Yeah, there you go.
Who said, how much you practice your backup quarterback? Because we don't. Because for every second we spent practicing with this guy, then that's one we don't get a rep with Peyton. And if Peyton goes down, we're screwed. That's it.
Yeah, and what's the point? But you can afford in college to go get a backup like Trinidad Chambliss, who was proven at the D2 level that could step up to the NFL, or not the NFL, the P4 level and succeed. You just can't do that in the league these days. It's very difficult to have more than one feasible quarterback option.
Oh, man, that's the best. And I've always felt that, too, like you're just not going to win that. We don't practice.
I mean, it's real. I mean, it's real. You love when someone says something honest like that, because why would you? If Peyton Manning goes down, what happened? They won like one game with Curtis Painter.
Kids are out of school, or in school now, so I can say the quote. Fellas, if 18 goes down, we're effed, and we don't practice effed.
Yeah. And he was right, because look what happened when Peyton Manning's neck, like when he had the neck injury in like 2012 when they got luck, or 2010. They won, I think, one or two games, and they were god-awful. Because what are you going to do? It's Peyton Manning. There's no Peyton Manning on your bench.
We don't practice effed.
Some teams can afford to do that in college. Most can't.
That's the best quote of the day right there. I love that one. All right, short break. Final segment to come back after this.
It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram at Lake Kiwi Ford, and my team's ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, we got you covered with over 500 vehicles available. And we're tackling high prices with huge discounts, like saving up to $15,000 off a new F-150 or a Ram 1500. Plus, Lake Kiwi is blocking high interest rates with attractive financing. So make the winning drive, Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram or Lake Kiwi Ford, or you can shop us all online at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. That's LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? It's game on at Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford, where Mark's team is ready to serve you. If it's selection you want, they've got you covered with over 500 vehicles ready for delivery. And Lake Kiwi's tackling high prices with new trucks discounted up to $15,000. Yes, you can save up to $15,000 on a new truck at Lake Kiwi, and they've got a bunch of them to choose from. So make the winning drive to Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford. They're between Clemson and Seneca, and all always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com. See dealer for details.
It's the moment you dream of. The moment you work for. Train for. Run wind sprints when nobody's watching for. The moment when hours of gym time, court time, prep time, all culminate into this time. The moment when millions of bounces, blocks, and boards all add up to this. Your moment. Ingles. We're with you every step of the way.
At Koala Insulation of Greenville, we help homeowners save energy and feel comfortable again. From spray foam and blow-in insulation to attic ventilation and cross-space solutions, we fix hidden problems that drive up energy bills and cause uneven temperatures. Homeowners save an average of 20% on energy costs, and you may qualify for up to a $1,050 Duke Energy rebate. Make your home more comfortable year-round. Call Koala Insulation today at 864-867-1779.
Most people think tap water problems are just about taste, but if you're dealing with dry skin, hair issues, fatigue, or digestive discomfort, your home's water could be affecting you every single day. You're exposed to it not just by drinking it, but through your skin, even breathing it in during hot showers. At Ace, we believe in whole home solutions. We perfect your water at the source to help protect the value of your health and home. That's what the bold white and blue stands for, protection and perfection. Book a free whole home water evaluation today at boldwhiteandblue.com.
Turning 65? Don't make a mistake you'll regret for the rest of your life. Get the plan that fits you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
If you need expert tree care, call Franklin Tree Service, your trusted partner in the upstate, for top quality tree work and more. From safe tree removal to trimming, stump grinding, and emergency storm services, Franklin Tree Service has you covered. Their team of certified professionals is committed to enhancing your landscape one tree at a time. The best prices around, reliable service, and fully insured. Franklin Tree Service is your go-to for all your tree needs. Call them today, 864-947-9065.
Men, listen up. It's time to transform your life this season. Step up and take control of your health with Low Country Male Semaglutide, the ultimate game changer for men. Semaglutide will help shed those extra pounds over the holiday season. At Low Country Male, we're all about you. Feel stronger, look better, and become the man you've always wanted to be. Say goodbye to your beer belly with the help of Semaglutide. Visit Low Country Male today, where real men get real results.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
The Roar, now offering great sports talk around the clock. We are The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Mattress Tax Service, if you need money or help when keeping up with all your money, all your NIL money, I do know this, a lot of those athletes are using the Patterson Tax Service. PATTX.com, PATTX.com, like a lot of coaches are as well, and like a lot of folks are from all over the area. Hey, I want to tell you, because I get this text sometimes, hey, I'm in North Carolina, I'm in Georgia, I'm listening, can they help me? Yes. Licensed in your state, so wherever you can hear my voice, they can do your taxes for you. The thing is, now you can send, scan those things in and send them in and all of your information, and they can take care of it for you. So you don't have to be here in the upstate. So that's great. If you can hear my voice, wherever you can hear it, let the Patterson Tax Service do your taxes for you. Set your appointment up. Call them today. 864-859-8289, the best in the business there. Now, Sam, before we get to Neil and Hank, I sent you a picture of my six-year-old son, Drake, who says, he asked me the other day, he goes, hey, is Sam Jones going to be there? He came out on Monday. I went, no, he goes, oh, I wanted to beat him in rock, paper, scissors.
That's a smug kid right there. Yeah. Kid thinks he's...
He beat Faxon, though.
Faxon is not a good rock, paper, scissors
player. He's not.
Faxon's good at a lot of things.
But
that,
not rock,
for
paper, scissors.
Odd reasons, is not one of them.
I don't know why. He seems bright. I don't know why is my six-year-old so much
he's
brighter.
He's a bright guy, but he's
that.
Not good at rock, paper, scissors.
I wonder why. It's his instincts, I guess.
Some people have it, some don't.
All right, so but the picture I sent you was... Drake is... Today's the 100th day of school and had to bring something with 100 on it today. So my son decides he's going to take 100 pennies and tape it on his shirt. So that is those are real pennies on a shirt that they did 10 rows of 10. And and I told him, I said, you know, Drake, that shirt's not worth a dollar now. But how about that, man, to come up with that concept of a shirt? I don't know how heavy that is, but that's pretty smart. Pretty bright, 100 day. You got to come up with something. He came up with a dollar shirt.
It's pretty smart kid. 100 pennies. Pretty good rock, paper, scissors player.
Yeah.
Not great at tic-tac-toe yet, but he'll get there.
He says he can take you in tic-tac-toe now, is what he told me. He told me he's bring it, don't sing it.
He got me once, and then he didn't win again.
Well,
it's just a fact of the matter.
He told me he's much improved and wants to take you down again to Chinatown.
He'd probably beat me. It's not difficult.
Let me get Neil on our Tiger Diagnostics phone line. Good morning, Neil. Thanks for hanging on through the break. How you doing?
Good morning, Mickey. Sam and I were just talking about, sent you the text. You know, the college athletic model, everybody says it's broken. Forget the economics of it make no sense. There is, the idea we're gonna expand rosters, take away scholarship, or gives everybody a scholarship, but football, the NFL pays 53 plus whatever the taxi squad makes less than kids at Clemson are making. You can't pay 105 guys. I don't care. The jealousy's starting already. The whole economic model, I was talking to the Alabama AD one day. He said it costs us $180,000 per kid. And I said, that can't be. He said, for every kid, tennis player to the starting quarterback, that's take our budget, divide, you know, obviously, they said, well, tennis doesn't cost as much. You know what it does? Insurance.
Yep.
Workman's comp now.
Yep.
Strength coach. Mental coach.
Yep.
Now I got to pay the tuition. Now I got to pay the room board. Now I got to pay their Pell Grant. Now I got to pay their cost of attendance. That stuff's real. I think the college model, you're going to pay about 12 guys. You're going to pay about 15 guys in a college run. But you're not going to have 105 roster in 2 years. And you're not going to have 45 in baseball. You're going to go – baseball's going to realize they can't afford to have all that too. But the whole economic side of it is a house of cards.
Well,
it's going to crumble.
And think about that. That's – In revenue producers. I mean, what happens to tennis? What happens to golf? What happens to track and field? What happens to soccer? What happens, you know? Like the model, it makes no sense.
I'm into sports medicine, so I was at Clemson yesterday walking around their new facility, which is beautiful. Title IX, thank you. Lawsuit, thank you. That's the only reason that building was built. But there's cheerleading in there, getting medical care from their doctors. Same doctors you get on the phone. It wasn't Dr. Murphy, it was Dr. Murphy. You know, they're in there getting the same care that the football player. And they deserve it. I'm not saying care and all the rest of it, but that's the one. I think the ADs, I always say this on Twitter, I think you see, school presidents lost this. They destroyed the whole business because they're not good. And the ADs are not good businessmen. They're fundraisers. They're not. They don't know how to run. They know how to run a business. And until they run, NFL's a business. They get a budget. They get a salary cap. Not that I'm a fan of salary cap. I'm not a fan of paying the players, but I understand the rest of it. But until we treat this like a business, and they got to realize 10-09 and all the rest of it, the house of cards in college is in trouble.
Well, not just that. Think about this. They went out and they signed this house agreement. And they said the reason we want to do the house agreement is that we want to make sure we limit what we pay. So we're going to pay $20 million. They came to this number, $20.5 million. We're going to pay the players, all these sports, all this $20.5 million. And he goes, that's going to take care of everything. And then the NIL on top of that. So the best quote I've heard from an AD is, why did we sign the house stuff? Why are we paying $20 million if we're still going to have to do the NIL stuff on top of the house stuff? Makes no sense, man. The whole model's broken.
Either the SEC or Big 12 are gone, or Big 10 is going to be gone. They're just going to go straight. They're going to give the rev share to other sports. Then you got sports. You got the Big East that can pay a basketball program $10 million because they have no. They can still pay $22 million.
Yep.
They got no football to spread it out.
Yep. 100%. Georgetown basketball should be great. St. John's basketball should be great because they can pay it and they don't have to pay football. 100%. 100%.
Thanks, guys. I can go on for hours, but you got other people to talk to.
Thank you so much. Yeah, very good stuff. Interesting stuff. Hank is up. Final phone call of the day. Good morning, Hank. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling in.
Hey, I just I agree with the last caller. I mean, and just talking to Sam earlier, I just think college football is on the death march, unfortunately. It's not the game that we once loved. And with all this NIL and the transfer portal and just money being thrown around, and I keep hearing people make the argument, let's make it like a pro business, let's put a salary cap on it. But unfortunately, I think if you put a salary cap, you're still going to have these Texas schools with their cowboy hat wearing old tycoons. They're going to come in and say, oh, yeah, you only make $500,000 in NIL, but don't worry, we'll take care of you with the rest. And I just think that's what's going to keep happening. You're just going to keep having these schools with the billionaires are going to keep outbidding the schools like Clemson, unfortunately.
Well, here's the thing is that it's not sustainable. And one of the greatest – I don't care what business model you have. Sustainability is the reason NFL works is because they're all in a collective together, and it's all about everybody doing and sustaining. If one team decided to break off in the NFL and said, we're not doing the salary cap anymore, and we're going to go spend more than you, whatever, that's not sustainable. And so you got to have a little bit of a collective thought in a competitive sports arena, at least. Not live, but in a competitive sports arena. Because that's the thing they have is without one, without all, then no one benefits. But in college, they don't trust each other. And the models, it's not going to work long term. Short term, but long term, no.
My question is, like NFL, they have, you know, all the staff that just handles all these things with the salary cap and things like that. Are schools going to have to start putting in the money for just a staff that handles these kind of business transactions and all? When you look at it, I don't know. It gets worrisome because you have these places. They're supposed to be academic institutions, but now, I mean, let's face it. Guys are not going to play college football and get an education anymore.
No.
That's not their big.
Nope.
That's not their big thing they want to do. And I admire Dabo. I think Dabo is one of the best people walking on earth. I love him, but unfortunately, the game has changed, and I hate it because these guys—they're not thinking of their future; they're thinking of the right now. So.
And I just know this about life, Hank. Anytime I start thinking about short term rather than long term, anytime I think about the hedonistic ways of what's good for me now rather than what's good for me long term, it's the wrong decision. You know, the extra bowl of ice cream, whatever, that's worse for my body. The spending on the new golf club, that's worse for my savings, worse for my kids. Like, the investment in the long term is the way to go in every decision I make for the most part. But for some reason, we're not doing that.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, buddy.
I appreciate it.
Appreciate the phone call for sure. I thought it was the Kansas AD. I can't find the quote. But, Sam, the quote was, I mean, the idea here is that why did we sign the house agreement? To give $20 million if that's not it, like we're gonna do house plus NIL. This model, it's not sustainable. And somehow, some way, everybody knows it. But no one, and it's hard to watch. But you get that friend that just continues to live a lifestyle, and somebody, that's why you have interventions. College athletics needs an intervention. Someone needs to sit them down and go, what are you doing? Fix it.
I think there are very simple ways to fix a couple things. First of all, I think it's more we had a texter say it. I think it's more of a transfer portal problem than finances. The finances are bad. I'm all for players getting paid. I don't really care how much teams want to pay them. If they want to pay them, they can pay them. We shouldn't have guys transferring as frequently as they do. I think that's a negative for everybody involved. It's a negative for the athletes as well in every way except financial. I also think an easy way is the ratings. Not that anyone cares, but just generally continue to drop on national championship games and playoff games from year to year. They're running the year too dang long. It is going to be January 20th when we play the national championship game. 2003 Fiesta Bowl, Ohio State beat Miami. January 3rd,
Yeah.
There's no need to start the national championship game at 9 p.m. on a Monday in the middle to late January. They need to condense the schedule a little bit because in the same way as the NFL is starting to burn out in the regular season with 18 games, which is too much, which kills the 18th week. It's really just not watchable in a lot of cases. You're running the season too long and people are getting burnt out and getting sick of it. I don't think they're going to get a great... I mean, viewership is going to drop from last year comparatively with the two teams playing on Monday. I don't care about that. You don't care about that. But the College Football Playoff Committee does. Yeah. ESPN cares. ABC cares. Like, they can condense that. That's an easy fix. They can limit the transfers. That's an easy fix. The money is what it is. It's going to get paid out. It was getting paid out more before. It's just getting paid out more and now publicly now. But there are easy things that they can do that I just don't think they're doing.
Hey, Brad Hughes, my Allstate agent. I'm in good hands with Brad. He's in good hands with Allstate. He's been doing his own agency here since 2002. Brad will do a great job for you. Home, auto, condo, renters, motorcycle, business, life, ATV, boats. Let him take care of all of your insurance needs. Brad Hughes at Allstate.com, 292-3001. He's my agent. You can absolutely love Brad Hughes. Our two-minute drill, Eric Newton, for all your real estate needs in Clemson. No one does it better than EricNewton.com. Students looking for a place to live for next semester. You got to have it already. Like, you just got back, but you got to think about next semester. EricNewton.com. Sam, 10-second, two-minute drill, maybe?
I got nothing. We'll be back tomorrow.
Looking forward to that. Should be a great show tomorrow. Let me thank Paul Strelo, TigerIllustrated.com, Tony Morrell of TheBigSpur.com. Tomorrow, you'll see from here from Josh Williams breaking down national championship game. Roy Philpott will be here as well. And we might have a Hawk in the studio. Who knows? Up next, John and Faxon. Have a great Thursday. More importantly, tune in tomorrow. That's when we'll see it right here on the radio.